The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Wrestling to the Max. SmackDown. Review.
And we are live to the W2M Network with the Wrestling to the Max SmackDown live review for April 23rd, 2019. Holy crap, Brandon, we're actually doing one of these on a Tuesday.
Oh my God.
The world is coming to an end.
It's the end of the world as we know it.
And I'm feeling fine. Hey, I'll throw down to some REM. Don't get me wrong over here. The next thing you know, if you keep listening to the W2M Network, you'll be losing your religion. Because that'll be you in the corner. Never mind. This is the Wrestling to the Max SmackDown Live Review. I am your host. My name is Harry Broadhurst. Joining me, as per usual, Brandon Biskoving.
Hey, hey, hey.
What's going on, Brandon?
Not much. Got a busy, crazy ass weekend ahead of me.
Well, you got a pretty crazy week ahead of you starting tomorrow, too.
Well, yeah, that too. Not as crazy as being up for 15 hours covering a basketball tournament.
How dare you be a respectable journalist? We don't allow that kind of thing here on the W2M Network. Hey, Steven, suck it. Anyway. I lost my train. No, in all sincerity. Cool, what are you covering?
There's this new streaming service that does amateur and semi-pro tournaments. And there's a basketball tournament going on down in Myrtle Beach this weekend. And I'm like the site lead and running everything for them.
Nice. Congratulations. Hope everything goes well.
And then there's going to be more tournaments that are going to be going on over the summer that'll probably do as well. And hopefully for the next ones, I'll actually be able to do some broadcasting for as well.
Well, my hope is that you guys can do us a solid tomorrow in the Premier League.
Yeah, hopefully.
Then again, having seen the way you guys played against Everton, my hopes are not high.
Yeah, don't get me started on that. Let's talk some wrestling, shall we?
Okay, so you're actually ready to discuss SmackDown then?
Yeah.
Do we have to discuss
better than talking about Man U?
Do we have to discuss where we're at for the show? Because nobody liked Nebraska.
We talked about this on the group chat last night. I hate to say it, but keep SmackDown, Raw, and pay-per-views to the major cities.
I mean, this crowd was at least a little bit better than Monday night's crowd in Des Moines was.
Slightly.
That Iowa crowd should be ashamed of themselves because they sucked.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we opened SmackDown with Shane McMahon. Here comes the money. And there went the ratings. Ratings, 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 ratings.
Well, at least it was him instead of, I was expecting it to be Vince.
But Vince is a 70-year-old who just got punched in the face. He's going to be off television for a month.
True.
Anywho, so we see Shane McMahon come down to address the situation with Vince McMahon and Roman Reigns and Elias last week. We see tons of video highlights because, of course, we do. We always do. And then the big breaking thing to come out of this year is that Shane calls Roman out for a fight. Roman comes down to fight, throws his microphone before he even says a word, thus getting a strong babyface reaction, which is code for people want to like Roman. We just don't want to listen to him talk.
Well, I think that is definitely part of it that, you know, a lot of people have always said for the longest time that Roman should be the silent badass type.
I mean, he definitely seems to get better reactions when he's not spending time pontificating on the microphone.
True. But he'll also get better reactions when he's not being, you know, thrusted into the main event.
Well, he is going to be kept out of the main event here. As exactly. He is eventually double-teamed by both Shane McMahon and Elias. And it eventually leads to Elias laying Roman Reigns out with Jerked Away to close up the segment.
It was a good segment. Not really much to talk about. It's an effective segment. What?
It was effective for what they wanted to set up in order to get to the Money in the Bank pay per view with Roman and Elias one on one, which gets announced later on in the show.
Mm-hmm. And it keeps Roman especially after him beating Drew and everything. I don't think many people believe it, but, you know, it still kind of keeps, you know, the concept of Roman not being at 100% potentially still there.
I just think it's a way to keep him out of the main event
scene. Oh, right, definitely.
I'm okay with this because I feel like he's somebody that could probably use a cool off from it, because I think I read a stat that before he went away for his sabbatical, over the course of, the last 4 years, there had been a grand total of, four pay-per-views that he wasn't in a title match for.
Mm-hmm. Sounds about right.
Which is just an absurd number.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like the Roman Reigns-Elias matchup for Money in the Bank?
Yeah, I mean, it works. It's another one of those, you know, while Drew, I would have preferred to see him go up against, Corbin. But I understand they did the whole Corbin angle thing. I didn't exactly like that Drew was kind of, you know, sent to the wolves for Roman. But this one, you know, like we talked about in the past, Elias is one of those characters that you can have him lose and lose and lose, and it doesn't really hurt him. So this works.
Yeah, he's definitely one of those heat recyclable characters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, backstage segment with Kofi Kingston, Big O, excuse me, not Big E, he's out injured still, and Xavier Woods, where they discuss the fact that Kofi has a non-title singles match tonight on SmackDown as he takes on Shinsuke Nakamura, soon to just be Nakamura.
Don't,
you heard it here
don't,
first.
Don't give Vince ideas.
You heard it here first. I'm just saying.
I don't think it's possible, though. Wasn't there a rumor when he first signed that was part of his contract because he knew about that?
That he could no longer, he could not be called just Nakamura or
That they could not alter his name?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't recall reading it, but in fairness, he signed 2 years ago and my memory barely remembers what I had for dinner last night. Our opening contest is scheduled for one fall.
One fall.
And there's a return match from the Intercontinental title match on Raw a couple of weeks ago as Finn Balor takes on, it was non-title on Raw, but you get my point. Finn Balor takes on Andrade in a return bout from that episode of Monday Night Raw now that they're both on SmackDown. Well, technically, Andrade was on SmackDown, then he went to Raw, then he came back to SmackDown. Read into that what you want to. Charlotte Flair.
Well, honestly, the other rumor isn't
Frost at... wants more Latino talent.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. They in fairness, the WB back when SmackDown was on there wanted more Latino talent too. So they want to try to reach a different keep reaching that different demographic. Greetings and salutations, Wilford. Welcome to the podcast. All right, the match itself goes 7 minutes and 45 seconds. Balor gets his win back after Zelina Vega's interference goes awry this time, as Balor ducks and Zelina's crossbody is caught by Andrade. By the time Andrade sets Zelina down, he turns into the John Woo dropkick, and then the coup de grace spells curtains for Andrade, no amas, for Balor to pick up the victory here. I actually would have had Andrade pick up another win here.
I'm honestly surprised that they didn't, because I was anticipating this being, you know, the, you know, win a match, get a title match type of situation. But this leads to an interesting little thing that I would like to see them further continue, but I doubt they will. And that is the faces becoming smarter and, you know, avoiding the shenanigans, and maybe it starts to lead to Andrade getting annoyed.
I disagree, and the reason I say that is because Andrade, for as good as Andrade is in the ring, his English and his promo skills leave a lot to be desired still, where Zelina's able to pick up that slack for him.
I understand that.
That being said, the match was really good, I thought, for as short as it was. I think their match on Raw was better, but in fairness, their match on Raw was also like twice as long.
Yeah.
We see Elias's challenge to Roman for Money in the Bank. We already discussed that. Your next contest, scheduled for one fall.
One fall.
And we're already done discussing it. A minute and 30 seconds. Now, don't get me wrong. I get that Peyton Royce and Billy Kay are a tag team act. So them as singles competitors, they're not meant to be taken seriously right now. The problem with that, though, is that if you're constantly having your champions lose, you're devaluing the titles that they hold.
I talked about this on the Raw review earlier when we were talking about Naomi beating, I think it was Billy Kay. And I was thinking basically kind of the same thing as you were saying, where, you know, they're not singles competitors. But also that, you know, because it was on Raw and the Smack and the main tag team feud is going to be on SmackDown this time around. And because it wasn't a completely clean win, you could kind of get away with it. But here, I think this is one of those situations of they're building up Asuka and Kairi so that, you know, they're a legitimate threat come the pay-per-view.
Okay, you can build them up as a legitimate threat, but build them up as a legitimate threat in actual tag team matches. Don't go sacrificing your tag team champions in singles matches when it's not going to be a singles match for the women's tag team.
Well, but I think, well, here's the thing. Well, two things. One, that seems to be WWE's MO, is whenever there's a tag team feud, it's always alternating singles contests between the four in the lead up to the pay-per-view. But also, what you just said right there, right, like, before when you were first talking about it, gives the Iconics a way out, or a cop-out. They can say, we're not used to being by ourselves. Yes, we may have the other one at ringside, but we're used to being able to tag out, so those losses don't really count.
I mean, it's sort of a built-in excuse. I get where you're coming from here. But there's only so many times you can have them lose matches on television and still have people take them as anything resembling a credible threat, right?
But does anyone really take them as a credible threat to begin with?
I would imagine you would have to a little bit because of the fact that they have the tag team titles. I mean, you don't want your champions being portrayed as complete and total walkovers.
Well, look at the
I know.
Look at the Raw Tag Team Champions. That's all I gotta say.
But they've been on a winning streak lately, so good for them.
Oh, a grand total of 3 wins after 200 and whatever losses.
Okay, can you name another champion in the WWE that has a 3-match winning streak? No, you cannot.
Seth?
Actually, Kofi.
Kofi?
Kofi might. I don't know if Seth does, but Kofi might. I guess technically Seth would have the Shield teaming, so
exactly.
That would work for him. Yeah, I guess. Okay. Okay, can you name a secondary champion that has more than a 3-match winning streak? Because I guarantee, well, yeah, because Joe was just pinned on
Joe Raw, just and, lost, but that was because it was for a bigger title.
At the same time, though, he was pinned by a non-champion in AJ Styles, and if they didn't have AJ they didn't have AJ win the match against Baron Corbin, one would have set, assumed that that would have set AJ up for a U.S. title match against Samoa Joe.
True.
I was half expecting Corbin to win to set up Corbin and Rollins for Money in the Bank, and then you could have had AJ Styles and Joe for the U.S.
So was I, because, you know, this is WWE, and we hardly ever see face-versus-face matchups.
Well, just as importantly, too, for that is the fact that I think they kind of feel like Corbin, despite the fact that most of the heat that he's getting is maybe not the kind of heat that his fans would traditionally like to see him getting, they're seeing that he's getting responses, and so they're using it as an opportunity to put Corbin up higher on the card.
True.
All right, we move on. Mandy and Sonya come out and confront Kairi and Asuka. It goes nowhere. See, actually, Mandy and Sonya versus Kairi and Asuka would be interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't take the Iconics seriously enough as characters in order to believe that they have a chance against somebody as heavily built up as Asuka has been.
Agreed.
But I feel like the tag team continuity of Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville would make them a legitimate threat for the newly established team of Asuka and Kairi Sane.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you may want, like, that may be a situation where you may set it up for later and maybe even feed in some potential doubt or some potential intrigue as to whether or not Paige decides to turn.
I think there's the issue with that, though, is the fact that the English is so rough for Kairi and Austin.
True.
True. Aleister Black sit-down interview, when we find out more about Aleister the person than in the 3 months he had priorly been on the main roster. I'm curious where they're going to go with him now that he's a single on the main roster. I feel like he was done in NXT, so I don't mind this call-up at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was only so many other ways you could go with him in NXT, whereas Ricochet still had a NXT, I thought. That being said, the question becomes, where do they go with him? At least he's on SmackDown on a more permanent basis, and he'll have much more of an opportunity to shine here on the blue brand than he probably would on the red.
Yeah, agreed.
We are supposed to get Chad Gable versus Jinder Mahal scheduled for one fall.
One fall.
But it ends up being no falls, as Lars Sullivan says, fuck all y'all. I tried not to use that word and it slipped. My apologies.
Well done.
Yeah, that one I try to avoid on the wrestling shows.
Hmm.
If you listen to the kickoff, you know I have a foul mouth.
Oh,
I try
yes.
to avoid that one on the wrestling shows. Regardless, Lars Sullivan says, screw all y'all, and proceeds to lay out Gable with a lariat from behind and then a throw into the ring post. Jinder Mahal runs like a little baby, which, frankly, who can blame him? And then Lars Sullivan gets to playing everybody's favorite game. Do you know what that game is, Brandon?
What would that be?
Fling! That! Sing! Anywho. R-Truth comes down to try to get himself some of Lars Sullivan, and that ends up going as bad as well as R-Truth coming down to get some of Lars Sullivan would.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I wouldn't be surprised to see Truth and Sullivan as like the kickoff match for the Money in the Bank pay-per-view.
I could see that. I could see that being Sullivan's first, like, kind of build-up feud.
And I would actually be completely okay with that.
I just kind of hope that they don't. Like, I get things get stale very quickly in today's WWE, but I'd like to see him continue this whole thing of, like, because how many weeks do we have until Money in the Bank?
Three. May 19th.
Okay, so you could do, like, another week at least of Lars interrupting a match and, you know, destroying it. Before Truth officially said, and then Truth like trying to interfere or something, before officially setting up the match. Because I like this whole concept of Lars just running roughshod over everything and just coming in and just, you know, not caring and just destroying people.
Yeah, but at some point, doesn't Truth actually have to get some kind of advantage on Sullivan in order to make this seem worthwhile?
Yeah.
And I don't know if they're in a position to put Sullivan to the point where he's at a disadvantage yet.
True.
And especially not to somebody who was on, let's be honest here, who's on our troops level as far as their booking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like Truth. I think Truth has been reinvigorated with his run with Carmella here. But Sullivan is somebody they clearly have big plans for. So in the match itself, it's Truth is going to have to get decimated. That being said, I want to see Truth get something in the build-up to that match to at least make it look like he stands a chance.
Agreed.
All right. Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch in the ring, scheduled for one interview.
One interview?
Yes, one interview. We would call it one promo, wouldn't we?
Yes.
Regardless. Oh, that was rough.
Yeah.
It didn't get good until Bailey arrived, and I never thought I'd say those words about a promo.
Bailey with a backbone. This should be interesting.
I cannot say how condescending I find Charlotte on the microphone.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, especially as a heel.
The problem is, though, is that when she's constantly trying to talk over whoever she's in the ring with, you don't get the points that the other person is making having any kind of a lasting effect.
Mm-hmm.
There were a couple of things that Becky said that, frankly, should have stung a little bit more than they did, and Charlotte just brushed them off like, eh, whatever.
But, I mean, really, I think that's pretty much the dynamic where, you know, Becky is spitting straight fire, and Charlotte, because she's so, like, she has such this huge ego that, you know, it doesn't affect her.
Well, the problem for me with that is, and I get what you're saying, I do, it, where you're coming from makes sense. However, it completely downplays anything that Becky's saying, which then in turn makes it look like anything she's saying to anybody else is less credible as well.
I think if it were any other person, I would agree with you. But with the reputation that Becky has now, I think you can do that. And fans will, you know, realize that Becky is right, you know?
Regardless, it ends up coming to the point where Bailey comes out and wanting to get involved in the championship picture as well. And can I just say how absolutely adorable Bailey looked tonight? That little mother hugger could get some. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention, the most important thing out of that to me is the fact that she actually showed kind of the same attitude that she used to have. It wasn't that old walkover Bailey. This was a Bailey that was standing up for herself, and a Bailey who let it known that she wanted to be in the championship picture, and she deserved to be in the championship picture.
Mm-hmm. Hey, maybe this is, maybe that move to SmackDown is exactly what Bailey needed to finally get back to where she was.
Maybe getting out of the shadow of that family show. Maybe getting out of the shadow of that glory hog, Sasha Banks, is exactly what Bailey needed.
Still would have liked to have seen that feud.
Well, she gone.
Yeah.
Let's go to Ollie Williams for the Sasha Banks forecast. Ollie, she gone. Thanks, Ollie. This eventually sets up Charlotte versus Bayley tonight, the winner to become the number one contender, de facto-ish, to Becky's SmackDown Women's title match. SmackDown Women's title. It is not a match. She's the champion. SmackDown Women's title belt. The match is scheduled for one fall.
One fall.
I've apparently forgotten how to English. However, in the end, Charlotte wins, lol. She really is the female Roman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the?
See, even if you wanted, I know they did it at Mania. But a way that you could have kept Bayley's momentum going while still potentially keeping Charlotte in the picture. And, like, you could have done so much with this one move. They should have had Bayley like cost Charlotte the match.
Wait, what? You mean Becky cost Charlotte the match?
Yes, that's what I meant.
Well, Becky has other things to focus on for Money in the Bank in addition to now defending her title, against the SmackDown Women's title against Charlotte.
True.
She's still got the Raw Women's title match against Lacey Evans, so it's really not like it mattered to Becky who she was facing because she knew she was wrestling twice.
True, but with what she was saying at the beginning, like right after she won the title at the Raw, I forget if it was Raw or SmackDown after Mania that she mentioned this, and how she was interacting with Bayley, she would have much preferred to be facing someone who she thought, you know, didn't get opportunities, was like her, where, you know, she has to basically, you know, scratch and claw and fight and, you know, basically, you know, stooge her way into, you know, opportunities instead of, you know, Charlotte, who feels like she's entitled to them.
I guess I can see where you're coming from there. That being said, it's really not in Becky's character to get physically involved in matches that aren't her own. We haven't really seen Becky do that.
True, but that could be a new layer to her character, and it would be very Stone Cold-esque.
Agree to an extent, but I think they're kind of trying to get away from a little bit of the Stone Cold comparison to her. You notice they've been having to tone it back a little bit on her Twitter posts.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we saw it. I saw it coming, but you know.
Becky officially announces that she'll be defending both titles at Money in the Bank, Raw against Lacey Evans, SmackDown against Charlotte. She's losing at least one of them, possibly both. If I had my preference, I'd actually prefer she keeps the SmackDown title.
No. Oh, God, no.
I wouldn't mind Lacey taking the Raw Women's title. Because SmackDown doesn't need Becky. And as I understand it, she's actually contracted to Raw. According to what I read on the...
So it would make more sense for her to hold the Raw title and have the SmackDown.
I don't want to see Charlotte get another title reign. That's a personal bias.
And I'll admit, I'm the same way, just reverse. I don't want to see Lacey Evans anywhere near the title. I'm okay with Charlotte. She's not my favorite, but, you know, she's in that middle ground of... There are people I like above her, but there are people that, you know, if she's facing one of them, I'd rather see Charlotte win.
I guess giving the opportunity for Charlotte to defend against some of the other women on SmackDown would make more sense, because there aren't a whole lot of high-end quality talent inside of the Raw Women's Division right now.
Exactly.
I mean, look at the fact that Alicia Fox managed to pick up a TV match last night.
And do you really want to make it? Do you really want to go from, you know, the women main eventing WrestleMania to having two of your three women's titles being absolute jokes?
I'm not sold on Lacey one way or the other yet. I feel like this match against Becky at Money in the Bank is going to be sink or swim for her. That's where we find out what she has, if anything.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens there. We go back to Monday Night Raw and revisit Bray's Firefly Funhouse.
Now I get to hear what you think on this.
Actually, I'm just going to use this as an opportunity for a plug. If you want to hear myself, Tony Acero, and Andrew Belak comment, check out the Raw Reaction over on the Chairshot Radio Network every Monday night at 11:30 p.m., this past Monday night's episode available in the archives with our thoughts on the Firefly Funhouse. Hey, I got to work, man. I need listeners. I got mouths to feed. My own, specifically. Our main event is scheduled for one fall.
One fall.
And it is a non-title match as Kofi Kingston faces Shinsuke Nakamura. We end up going 13 minutes and 35 seconds, approximately 10 of which aired after commercials. Kofi picks up a disqualification victory as he takes down Nakamura with the SOS, and Rusev gets involved to prevent the pinfall on Shinsuke here. First of all, your thoughts on the match, and then we'll talk about the post-match, because I know you have something to say about that.
The match itself was good. This doesn't directly have to do with the match, but, and unfortunately now we can't get it for reasons we'll talk about later, but I would love to see a whole Raw or SmackDown, obviously for them it would be SmackDown, or a whole pay-per-view where you have the option to have New Day commentary for the entire thing.
Meh.
What?
I honestly don't find Xavier that entertaining.
They're funny on commentary.
I like Big E more than I like Xavier, but with Big E out right now...
That would actually be a fun way of keeping him on TV, do a la CM Punk.
Okay, but the problem with that is now Xavier has a busted up back.
True.
Which I guess we should talk about, huh?
But the match itself was good. It wasn't anything super crazy, but it was good.
Yeah, I thought the match was entertaining for what it was. I honestly thought they worked a little bit slower of a pace than I was expecting from these guys. But I feel like at the end of a long travel weekend, because as you know, SmackDown's travel schedule runs Saturday to Tuesday, which is just stupid to me that they have the TV at the back end of their travel schedule rather than at the front of it.
Well, that'll change.
Guys are all messed up and stuff. That's why the Hardys weren't on the show tonight, because Jeff got injured over the weekend.
Oh. Well, then.
So, I feel like having the TV taping at the end of your...
Yeah, that's kind of stupid.
...cycle hurts the product because guys are tired and stuff. And even to an extent here, you could kind of tell that Shinsuke and Kofi were working tired to an extent. With that being said, I kind of understand why they did what they did by keeping the physicality to a minimum because of the way the post-match played out. And Kevin Owens turning on Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston. Okay, two things here, because I know you're about to say why you think this is a terrible idea and they should have waited longer and I don't understand it and yada, yada, yada. Okay. Two things here. One, name somebody else on SmackDown right now who's a viable number one contender to Kofi Kingston's title.
I'll agree with you there. I mean, you could build up Shinsuke or, you know, I'm not really I can't really think of many other heels right now, but, you know, you could definitely build Shinsuke up if you wanted to, or Rusev, for that matter.
Could have, yes, but neither of them is a viable pay-per-view opponent for Kofi, I don't think. At least not in their current state.
True.
And with the Money in the Bank pay-per-view just 3 weeks away, that's not enough time.
True.
Two, and this is the just as big a one here, there is absolutely a built-in reason for Kevin Owens to hate what Kofi Kingston stands for.
Why?
Because Kofi Kingston was on television celebrating with his kids about the life that he was able to provide for them. Kevin Owens, as a father, wants to provide that same life for his kids.
Okay.
Owens, fight.
I'll agree with that part. But here's the thing. Here's the issue I have. You had two potential built-in stories that would have made this work much better. And it would have made more sense. And not so much sense, but, like, it wouldn't have been as much of a, like, why bother turning him face if you're just gonna turn him heel a few months later. First, and, you know, obviously this is the longer one where, you know, you would have to wait. Wait until Big E is healthy. Have them tease a Big E turn because he's annoyed that, you know, KO has basically taken his spot. And then have KO turn by, you know, kicking Big E or something like that.
Okay, let me talk about that and then you can give your second one, okay?
All right.
The reason you don't do that is because you don't know how long Big E's going to be out.
Oh, no, I understand that. but I'm just saying.
Viable option if Big E's injury was less significant than a torn meniscus. So, like, yes. If it was a partially strained meniscus and he just needed a few weeks and you have a set timetable, little English, not my friend again. As far as when Big E will be back, then I can agree with you to an extent of saving it for Big E's return.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know how long Big E's going to be out with that meniscus. It's up to WWE's medical staff as far as when Big E will be cleared.
Okay, fair enough. And I agreed with that. That's why I said that would be the main issue there. The other one, and this would have worked on a bigger intrigue level, you know, instead of it being, you know, instead of as soon as he super kicked Kofi, it was like, oh, of course, same old, KO. You could have had a little bit of a battle within KO for a second before he turns heel again. Have Sami Zayn be on SmackDown instead, and have him come out to attack New Day, along with Rusev and Nakamura, and then have, like, you know, them run in, have Sami about to attack, Kofi, and then have KO kind of, like, you know, be torn between the two, trying to figure out, you know, who should I side with, and then he can super kick Kofi.
I think it's better to keep Sami and Kevin away from each other for a while because they've been so intertwined with each other over the course of the last 2 years. First feuding with, and then teaming up again with each other.
I can see that. I just don't like how they just went. They went so all in on this face turn just for it to last, what, 2 months?
Not even.
Not even.
About a month, all told. No, I guess he came
2 months
as a
because
face
he came back at Fastlane.
Yeah, he came back as a face in February. So yeah, I guess about 2 months would be accurate there. The New Day alliance was only like 3 weeks.
Well, the New Day alliance was really only 1 week.
I guess he joined up last week and turned this week. But he was in good with Kofi and stuff because he apologized to Kofi and he was one of the first people to congratulate Kofi.
Well, yeah.
When Kofi won the title. So, yeah. I mean, they've been kind of in cahoots, kind of working together-ish in a non-specifically on television way for the course of since Kofi had his drive towards his WrestleMania moment.
Mm-hmm.
What's your interest level in Kofi Kingston versus Kevin Owens for the SmackDown title? And that'll be where we close for the night.
I'm interested to see how they handle this. I'm hoping, and it probably will be this way because Kevin Owens has always been good at this. I hope they make KO the relatable heel. Basically explain his actions the way you explained it, where it's like, I'm just trying to do this for my family, I need this title shot for them, yada yada yada. Keep that whole, even though he's turned, still keep his character that you've built up for the past, what, like, month and a half that they did those vignettes.
Well, did you hear what KO said to Kofi as he was attacking him?
No.
This is one of the few instances where listening to the ring microphones actually comes in handy here. Because you could clear as day hear Kevin Owens tell Kofi Kingston, I hope you enjoyed it, Kofi. I hope your family enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah, I think I did hear that.
And that kind of teases the fact that that's going to be the reason for what Kevin is doing here is because he wants to be the champion in order to provide the life for his family that Kofi thinks that the title will be able to provide for his.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like there's going to be that personal aspect tied into it here. Hopefully they don't go too overtly personal and get all of the families involved in stuff because, frankly, we don't need that. We don't need to call back to Wendy Styles with AJ and Samoa Joe.
Mm-hmm. I have a feeling they will, though.
Well, we'll see how long they decide to take this year. They only got 3 weeks to get there, so
true.
We'll see what happens.
But especially considering what you said before about there not being very many viable contenders for the WWE Championship on SmackDown, I have a feeling that this feud will not just be a one-off.
Well, the other thing, too, is with the Saudi Arabia date being moved back until early June,
mm-hmm.
I think that they'll probably end up taking it for Money in the Bank, at least into Saudi Arabia, depending on who does or doesn't go on the trip.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Brian wouldn't go on the trip anyway, which is the reason I think that Brian's not automatically getting an opportunity to get his title back.
Well, along with other rumors.
I know. The rumor is that he picked up an injury at WrestleMania, and we're hoping it's nothing too serious, but they're kind of being hush about the details, which tells me it's a possible concussion.
Yep.
Which I really don't want to be the case, because if it is, just retire already, Daniel. Mm. Loved seeing you come back, man, but go out on top with some of the best work of your career.
Mm-hmm.
That officially wraps up the SmackDown Live review here. Let's give this thing a rating and put a one-word review to it. Brandon, shall we?
Okay.
Scale of 1 to 10, where do you fall?
I'll give it a 7.
Care to expand upon that 7? Or
what?
Care to expand upon that 7?
It was a decent show, but nothing spectacular. I mean, the heel turn was, you know, not really out of nowhere, but, you know, it was...
Where was he tonight?
I have no idea.
Because he's actually who's been feuding with Kofi at the house shows, but sorry, continue.
See, actually, now that I think about it, that would have been an interesting feud to kind of bridge the gap. Especially considering their history. I would have much rather seen that.
Somebody had predicted him to beat AJ Styles at WrestleMania for that very reason.
But now you could basically, it's basically like an AJ Jericho type situation from 2016, where because of AJ moving over to moving over to Raw, you can basically make that null and void and basically say Orton, you know, deserves a title shot because of his, you know, lineage and history and all of that.
Either way. All right, so anything else that you wish to expand upon that 7 with?
No, not really.
I'm at a 7.5. I'm a little bit higher than you are. I actually liked both of the matches, and I thought the KO turn came off a lot better than you did, which is why I think I'm a little bit higher than you are on the show. The Elias and Roman Reigns thing, it interests me, but at some point you have to give Elias a victory in one of these matches. Otherwise, it's going to be a case of why bother? Because we know he doesn't have a chance. Because
mm-hmm.
he's had a couple of built-up feuds and stuff, but he has yet to pick up a big win in any of them. So I think that eventually you're going to have to give Elias a win, such as a win over Roman, although I doubt it happens.
No.
In order to have people continue to believe that he is a credible threat.
But see, like I mentioned before, he is a character that, you know, I think people have basically set, you know, they realize that he's a, you know, comedy character who isn't going to win many, if any, matches. But because of his extracurricular stuff, it still works because you still like him for that.
I still feel like you eventually have to give him something in order to make his matches mean more.
True. We'll see.
Give him a major win to play off of, so that way people aren't just looking at him as cannon fodder. Overall, though, by and large, I enjoyed the show. And I thought that despite the fact that SmackDown took a lot of, or Raw took a lot of SmackDown big pieces, AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, the Usos,
Miz.
Getting Andrade, huh?
Miz.
getting Andrade and getting Aleister Black back kind of helped SmackDown in terms of their ability to continue to be the brand for go-to wrestling and high-end storyline development.
It seems like WWE, and we'll see if this changes at all once the Fox deal starts, but it seems like SmackDown is used like it was in the past in the mid-2000s. It's being used once again as the build-up brand, where the younger guys are sent to get built up, you know, and become bigger stars.
Okay, but at the same time, though, I'm not opposed to that because you're giving the television time to these guys in order to sign and create.
Oh, I agree.
And create characters for themselves.
I agree.
All right. One word review, Brandon. What do you got?
Why don't you use yours first and I'll think for a second?
Unpredictable.
Okay.
Because we knew Owens was turning, we just didn't think it would happen this early.
Mm-hmm.
We knew that they would be bringing people back from the Raw side of things with the Superstar Shakeup. We just didn't know how they were going to be used when they did so. We knew that Charlotte wasn't going away, but seeing Bayley back involved in the title picture is something that'll put a smile on my face. And again, she looks super adorable. My heart's to Bayley. All right, you stalled long enough, Brandon. What do
okay.
you got?
I'm going to say indecisive because a lot of these feuds, it's like they go one way and then completely reverse course and destroy any momentum they have. You know, Charlotte Bayley. You know, at least give Bayley some sort of reason to still stay in the title picture because it seems like her new character is going to be, you know, I'm gunning for the title, I'm going to fight my way through. If she keeps on losing, it's going to be meaningless. So
what you're saying is they're going to turn her into Elias?
Pretty much. But no, they're going to turn her into Bray.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, they're in danger of turning Elias into Bray.
But see, like I said, Elias isn't going around saying he's a god or going around and saying, I want to, you know, have titles and stuff. He just cares about people walking with him. He don't give to you-know-whats about winning matches or championships.
Agree to disagree there, but continue.
We talked about the Iconics. You know, they become champions and then now they're fodder. So are we supposed to think they're credible champions or jokes?
Okay.
Yes.
No, go ahead and finish. I'll give my thoughts when you're done.
And then, you know, like we talked about with KO, you know, they turn him face only to turn him heel a few months later.
All right, as far as the Iconics go, they were basically jokes even before they won the title.
Oh, I agree with that.
The only time that they were ever taken, the only time that they were even partially taken seriously is when they kind of stood up for themselves after Nia and Tamina walked out on them.
Mm-hmm.
As far as who was the last one that you mentioned?
KO.
As far as we kind of said all we had to say about the Kevin Owens situation there. Honestly, if Kevin Owens is in the main event title picture, I'm okay with it regardless of if he's a face or a heel because Kevin Owens is one of those guys who shows up with his working boots on 365.
Oh, no, I'll agree with that. He definitely deserves it. Like I said, just on a storyline level, you know, it just doesn't really make much sense for him to be, you know, this, you know, father who's turned a new leaf in all of this and then, you know, go back to his old ways within, you know, a couple of months. Which I have a bad feeling that that's exactly what's going to happen with Bray.
I don't think so, but I'm going to take more of a wait and see approach when it comes to the bracing. I'm willing to give this an opportunity to see how it plays out.
Oh, so am I. I'm just not holding my breath.
There's potential for this to go one of three ways. It could either be very intriguing, very disappointing, or an absolute flop.
Unfortunately, knowing the history of both Bray and WWE when it comes to these sorts of gimmicks, I have a feeling it's going to be one of the latter two.
But at the same time, that's part of the fun of being a fan, is the wait and see of whether or not they're able to surprise us.
Oh, yes.
We'll see what happens, and I'm sure we'll be back here next Tuesday night or Wednesday, depending on our schedules, to discuss it.
Yep.
Anything you want to plug before we get out of here, Brandon?
Well, should we plug the show tomorrow together?
I would say no, because I'm not entirely sure it's happening. We gotta talk to Eric and figure that out.
Fair enough.
If we don't do the preview, we'll definitely do the review, though.
Yes.
Just because, honestly, for us to discuss the review would be a lot easier, just because we'll be able to discuss what our specific teams did and how we feel the top players in the draft will pan out with where they landed.
Yes.
So we may still do a review, but or we may still do a preview, but ours are looking, we're probably going to just do the review instead. I'll talk to Eric about that once we get done with the show.
Okay.
What about the Raw review?
Yes. Cedric and I did the Raw review for last night, this afternoon. So if you want to go listen to our thoughts on everything, including my thoughts on the whole Bray thing, tune in there.
If you want to hear my thoughts on that, I already plugged it.
Yeah, you did. Enough shills for you today.
Actually, I do have another shill as soon as somebody gets off his asterisk and watches a pay-per-view.
Yes, yes.
How the world was won, eventually. Maybe.
All my catching up
Smalls.
To do. What?
You're killing me, Smalls.
I know.
I just like getting to work that line in.
Yes, yes, yes.
No, that was what it used to be. We're the chair shot over there. Never mind. I'm horrible. So, you watching the Stanley Cup playoffs at all?
A little bit here and there.
Game 7 of the Sharks and the Golden Knights on right now on NBCSN if you're interested.
I may have to tune in.
They are going into the third quarter. The third period, technically. I guess hockey has periods, not quarters.
Should we sign off?
We should, mostly because I want to go watch hockey.
I would assume you want to go watch some Sharks and Knights.
Hurricanes and Capitals game 7 tomorrow too.
Hmm.
Tis that time of the year, man. Playoff hockey,
season.
Nothing like it.
Indeed. Playoff hockey, playoff basketball, baseball starting up, Premier League finishing up.
Okay, let the record state that raspberry was to the NBA.
Yes.
Baseball starting up and Premier League, aoki doki in my book. Basketball, meh. If it ain't college, I don't care.
Your Braves are doing better than the Yankees are right now, I think.
Well, in fairness, three quarters of your roster is on the disabled.
True, very true.
Including somebody that was on my fantasy baseball team.
Would that be a sir and Judge?
All rise and now be seated for at least 6 weeks.
Yeah, that look. I was watching that game when it happened, and yeah, it didn't look good.
He's Brandon Biskabing. I'm Harry Broadhurst. You have been listening to the Wrestling to the Max SmackDown Live Review for April 23rd, 2019. You can find us online at w2mnet.com, and you can listen to this SmackDown Live review and all of our other review shows, as well as thoughts on entertainment, video games, sports, and more by checking out the W2M Network series of podcasts available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Spreaker, Podbean, CastBox. Hey, Brandon, guess what?
Spotify is here.
And Glacier is all in on being a dick. Seriously, AEW, that's the kind of person you're going to hire. The hell out of here. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next week here on the SmackDown Live Review on the W2M Network.